What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Hanaho Podcast. It's me, Willie Paul, sitting with Pastor Brandon. Did you do some remodeling or something?
Yeah, I made all this cool stuff up here happen.
You did all that by hand?
That's me, and that's Kara, and these are my books.
What's the best book on that bookshelf? Quick.
Oh, this one, The Giving Tree. Shel Silverstein, right there.
Is that really?
Yeah. Not to be outdone by the client. John Grisham and the Disappearing Finger.
If you're listening to this in the audio, only, Pastor Brandon has changed his Zoom background to some. Where did you get this picture from of this bookshelf?
I just Googled books background Zoom, and this is what showed up. Awesome built-ins with books that I've never read.
Very John Krasinski-esque. I like it.
Oh, that's some good news.
Anyway, hey, we're talking about this past weekend, which was Easter. And it was so good.
Easter weekend. It was awesome.
Whether you joined us online or in person, man, this year's Easter was definitely like, not only memorable because of, you know, history is happening and we're living through it, but also just because, like, man, I felt like everyone that participated in the Easter service, from worship to halal to Hannah giving the testimony, to the people who made the testimony video, to people like Cam and his registration team, just making sure that everything's working, to Racy, huge shout out to Racy for making Metro Kids in person happen safely and everything. Man, I just felt like everyone was firing on all cylinders.
Absolutely.
What was your favorite memory?
Hard to pick one, to be honest. It was great seeing everybody back in person, seeing people's faces. Online, Ohana, you are not out of this by any means. We love that you're tuning in and you're a part of what's going on. But you know, you gotta say it's great to see people in person back in church. I think it's really cool to see people bringing family that haven't been to church ever or in a long time. And, you know, we talk about Metro Kids, we talk about whether it's new people, whether it's current attendees, just a powerful testimony, all the things you mentioned. Yeah, I really can't put my finger on one thing, but, you know, I love the topic that we talked about, this idea of redemption, that nothing, no one is too far from God's redemptive power. I think that message of redemption is really important, not only in the times that we're living in, but throughout history. But if we look just at 2020, 2021, the times that we're in, coming out of COVID, we're still kind of in it and we're looking at numbers and this and that. But I feel like society's feeling this shift happening with things opening up a little more, but still being nervous about counts rising and there's vaccines, but then there's this, and then there's kids in school, but then we still got to be careful. And we need a message of redemption, you know?
Yeah.
So, how we're changed by the power of redemption is such a powerful and appropriate topic around Easter, on the times that we're living in. I left this weekend just really excited for what God is doing.
Yeah. And I texted you. I sat in the 10 with Ashley, and I texted you after, but I was just like, I was in the back just literally just watching a master at his craft as you were just like telling jokes, the whole crowd was with you, and then you would just like pivot and just be like, boom, here's like a little truth, and then the crowd would go silent and you just feel it like land. And it was just like, I was sitting in the back just like, he's so good.
No way, man. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that.
No, but for real.
It's cool to see people that
Ashley was sitting next to me and she was like looking at me. She's like, are you okay? Because my eyebrows were like this. Just like, so it was really, really good.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Go ahead.
I like the redemption stories of Darth Vader and like how you weaved all of that in, and you know, all the movies that we watch are, a lot of them are about like redemption. There's a redemption arc, the main character falls from where he or she once was and now is like redeems themselves. And yeah. I just thought it was just incredible. It just hit.
Yeah. I think because we all do want a good redemption story, you know, mm-hmm. like when we watch these movies or TV shows and we see the bad guy, you know, if that bad guy does turn around into something redemptive, right? Redemptive qualities, all these kind of words that we use. I think because the word gets lost in our vernacular, we forget the weight that it carries. And, you know, at its core, redemption is all about exchanging something worthless for something valuable. And all of us need that, no matter what kind of lives we've lived. You know, if you haven't checked out the Easter service yet, we encourage you, because we're not only proud of what God is doing at Metro, but because there's a story of a guy at our church named Hannah. And Hannah just lived a really colorful life. And that's a euphemism, because he grew up tough in the streets and got into tattooing. So he's covered literally head to toe in tattoos. Spent some time locked up. And yeah, dude. After he got out, he was homeless for a bit and just started coming to church and finding Jesus, and his life turned around. And now he's walking with Christ and he's getting married to his fiancée. And God has literally changed his life, changed his heart, redeemed his past for what God is doing now. And I thought that was such a cool testimony.
Yeah, I was like tearing up. Like I know Hannah, and like he started coming back to church to serve with the ushers and all that pretty like a few weeks ago. And I was just like, dude, it's so good to see you. And I was like, dude, have you been working out? Because his arms got huge. Like, apparently he's just been lifting weights at home. I was like, dude, your arms are humongous. But just like his story as he was sharing it was just like, I was tearing up, just chicken skin. And then when he came onto stage and did participate in the sign dance, oh man, I was fighting back tears. Because it's just that idea of, this is a person whose life has been turned around, not by like any kind of like go get itness or any kind of like self-help wash your face kind of thing, but just because he fully understands who Jesus is, and he's just understands the love that Jesus gives him.
Yeah. I mean, it's really obvious in the way that he lives his life now. And the great part is that Hannah's story is encouraging, but that's every person that calls Jesus their savior. We've all been redeemed. And your background may not be as colorful as Hannah's. It may not be in the things that he's done. You may or may not have spent time locked up. You may or may not be covered in tattoos, but it doesn't matter about our drug use or the things that we've done. Sometimes people will hear a testimony like that and say, wow, that's amazing to see what God does, but for me. And if you're someone who has lived a pretty straight-laced life, haven't gotten arrested and, you know, did well in school or whatever it is and enjoy your job, you may not be able to see how redemption applies to you in that sort of way. But if that is you and you're listening to this, just know that God's redemptive power isn't just for people that we think are too far, because it's for every person. And sometimes we would disqualify ourselves. And I'll say we, because I kind of fall into that category, you know. I haven't been arrested, I don't have any tattoos, and never got into drugs, but I needed God's redemption in my life. And, you know, at its core, redemption is about, remember we shared this in the message, redemption is about this idea that in ancient times, when two armies went to war against each other, the winning army would take the losers as their captives. And if you were a captive, you were in bad shape, because you would either be killed or sold into slavery. Your life was over. Now you had a different master, and it was this foreign army, this horrible overlord, if you will. Mm-hmm. And if the only way to escape is if someone would come and buy you back with money for a ransom. We're familiar with the word ransom, right? But the price was called a ransom, but the process was called redemption. So someone would come and redeem you from that new master, and they'd have to pay a price. So at its core, this idea of redemption isn't just for people with sex, drugs, and rock and roll kind of past. It's for everybody, because we've all given into sin being our master. And Romans tells us that whenever we give into sin and we feel like we can't stop doing it, sin has become our master and we have to obey it. And I think all of us, when we fall into temptation, know that feeling of, I know I shouldn't, but I just can't help myself. And that's because sin is our master. Until Jesus comes to pay our ransom, and he redeems us. And the price that he paid was his blood. So he pays for us. to not live that life anymore. And now our master isn't sin. Our master is Christ. It's mm-hmm. righteousness. So you're either a slave to sin or you're a slave to righteousness, and you choose. You know, really, if I can go on this idea, some of us say, I don't want to be a slave to sin. I don't want to be a slave to anything. I just want to be me. It's like, why do I have to be a slave to sin or righteousness? Why can't I just, you know, be me and do what I want? What's funny is, even when we think that, this middle road of just being me, that's pride, that's arrogance. So we're a slave to sin because we want to do what we want to do. And we're blind to the idea that we either give in to sin or we give in to what God says. And when we've been bought with a price, then we follow what Jesus says. So if I may, take, for example, the idea of sex. In today's world, sex is outside of following Jesus. Sex is what you feel like doing, when you feel like doing, who you feel like doing. Pardon my language there. But really, it's this idea of I can do what I want, right? It's my body. I can do what I want. 1 Corinthians 6 tells us at the end, hey, Jesus bought us with a price. And that's the whole idea of redemption, right? So when you unite yourself to someone in sexual intercourse and in sexual relationships, it's no longer just you and just them. Now you're one in God's eyes. And when you unite yourself with someone, what you're doing is you're not honoring God with the body that he's given you. It's actually not your body. It's God's. It belongs to God because he bought you with a price. He redeemed you. So the whole chapter ends with, therefore, honor God with your body. That's just one of many examples of when we've been redeemed, how our lives live differently. So, you know, when I think about like ways that I've been redeemed, my story isn't like Hannah's, but I look at the things that I've been enslaved to. I've been enslaved to pornography. I've been enslaved to just self-serving ideas and actions, aside from sexual immorality. But just like pride and arrogance, and I have all the answers within me. I don't have to listen to anybody else. Like that's sin being my master. But when I came to faith in Christ, when I believed that Jesus was enough to pay for my sin, when I gave my life to Christ and I said yes to him, Jesus bought me back. His blood was enough to pay for me. And now I want to do what he says. Before, I wanted to do what I said. And now as a redeemed person, I want to do what Jesus says. Obviously, like everyone listening, I'm far from perfect. And there's times that I feel like I'm sliding back to the old me. But that's when I have to remember, I'm not a slave to sin anymore. Now, as that worship song we sing, no longer a slave to fear, I'm a child of God. And I'm going to listen to what my new master, my father, my friend says. I'm going to live that way. So this idea of redemption is so wide, but and yet so powerful individually, because I know many of us listening, if you've been saved, if you believe Christ is your savior, then the next question is, are you living like that? Because we can believe that Jesus exists and, you know, we love him and all this stuff. But unless it translates into the way that we live, we're not living any different from the culture that we live in. And that's a big thing. If you've been redeemed, then live redeemed. There's this funny verse in the Bible. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's like, say what? Like, what does that even mean? Like, and there's different worship songs maybe you've heard growing up in church. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's all these kind of funky. I've heard that.
I've never heard that. But,
dude, there's like all kinds of Israel, new breeds. Anyways, I was like, what does that even mean? Like say so. It's like, well, if you've been redeemed, then don't be shy about it. Like, don't pretend like you're not redeemed. Live as someone that's been redeemed. Like say you are. It's almost like this is like, I did not plan to say this, but it's something like, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. It's like, if you're redeemed and you know it, say so. Like, do something about it. Live like it. So, okay. Your turn.
Well, I don't know how to follow that. kind of in the middle of the message, I'm forgetting the name of the person that you shared this from, but it was this quote that was saying that like shame is the strongest like negative emotion that we feel. I'm completely butchering this. But it's basically the idea is that like the shame that we feel can hold us back from redemption or from positive change because we can feel like we don't deserve it or like it would be wasted on us because we just go back to what we have been doing. And it really does, like, that shame of our past, the mistakes that we've made, things that we've said. Do you have any advice? How do you move past shame? How do you move past shame into redemption for someone who might be struggling with shame for something in their past?
Sure. That was downtown Brené Brown talking about shame being like the strongest mastery emotion. Yeah.
Mastery emotion. That was it.
Yeah. That word master is so powerful for the previous illustration of being slave to sin. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And shame keeps us under the master or the lordship of sin. Cause now we don't want to talk about what we're dealing with. We don't think we're worthy to get past it. We don't think we'll ever get past it. Perhaps, you know, there's people that remind us of that area of our life, that issue from before, or even now. Maybe they say it out of spite and criticism. Maybe they say it because they mean well, but it just does not do well. Shame is powerful. So the thing, how do you beat something powerful with something more powerful? Mm. And if someone is dealing with shame, it's almost like you don't just fight fire with fire, if you will. You look at what Jesus did. And that's why the gospel is so powerful. The gospel of Jesus Christ tells us that Jesus died for our sin and our shame. That for all these things that make us feel unworthy, all these reasons that others count us out or we count ourselves out, this shame hangs over us like a cloud. When we're dealing with this, bring it to Jesus. Because where others might criticize or, you know, give you platitudes or anything like that, what Jesus will do when you bring your shame to him is show you the holes in his hands of his love for you. Because that act of love, of dying on the cross for us, giving his life for ours, is so that the shame that we feel would be covered and paid for. Mm. See, sometimes when we do something horrible, we feel ashamed because we want to try and make amends for it. We want to try and make any kind of concession to make someone feel better about it. If we've wronged someone, many times we want to try and make it right. We use that phrase, I just got to make it right. Sometimes you're able to do that. People don't want to hear it from us. Maybe that person has moved on in their life or they're no longer here. Jesus made it right by paying for our sin. So that debt that we feel towards whatever it is, Jesus covers that and says, paid in full. Mm. Give you an example. Student loans are something that many people are familiar with, paying off thousands of dollars for an education that now we have, but we have to pay off this bill. Credit card debt is another example of things that come in and just looms over us because we got to keep paying it off.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like this feeling of if you couldn't pay off your debt, your student loans, your credit card bills, whatever your mortgage, whatever your debt is, and someone comes in and says, I'm just going to pay for it all. You're like, are you crazy? Like, no. I'm Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon. I have billions of dollars. Paying off your debt is like nothing to me. It's like giving you a quarter is paying off your debt. You're like, whoa, are you serious? You're like, yeah, I'm going to pay off your entire debt. And all I want you to do now is live. And now take Jeff Bezos out of the equation. Now it's God Almighty who wants you to live according to who he wants you to live, right? It would be silly for us that if our debt was paid off, we no longer had to pay back student loans or credit card debt or mortgages. It'd be silly for us to continue to send in payments to Visa or Citibank or Fannie Mae. It's like, no, why are you sending me money? You've been paid in full. But I still feel like I need to pay. No. It's over. Mm. Take that money and do something else with it. And I think when we're under the cover of shame and we're stuck, all that mental energy, all that emotional energy that goes towards telling ourselves why we're not good enough, I will never be good enough, I will never amount to anything, all of that mental energy that keeps us stuck in this area of our life, it's almost like Jesus wants to tell us, that's all paid off. Take all that mental energy and do something with it. Like, go do something better. Because God has called us to better. So if someone is dealing with shame or embarrassment or sin or feeling like they never can, tell yourself that what you're listening to is not getting you where God wants you to be. And instead, if Jesus paid it all, then live like he paid it all. Let that cloud dissipate and remind yourself of the truth of what scripture says about you. That because of what Jesus did, you can. You can move past this. You can get past this.
Mm. That's really good.
Your turn.
I mean, I think that it is difficult, and it's a lot easier said than done, you know, that moving from especially if you've been in shame and like feeling that for a really long time, it can be almost difficult to let that go because that's like what you know, that's like your default. But making that journey into understanding that it has been paid off, that all that shame and all that, as you said, that mental energy that goes towards, and even spiritual energy of feeling trapped can now be used towards living how God wants you to, living in the fullness of life that Jesus promises, can be a very long journey, but it's one worth taking. And so if it's not easy, we're just encouraging you just to take one step tomorrow. Do one thing. And then the next day, just one more thing, just small steps every single day, so that you'll be able to look back and say, wow, I've actually made it pretty far.
Yeah.
Hey, if anyone listening is new or they feel like they're renewed in Jesus, what are some steps that they can take towards making that journey, towards living like how God wants them to?
I think the first thing, it's funny, as you mentioned what you just said about, you know, shame, you know, easier said than done, totally true. I don't want to make it sound like it's, you know, something that's so easy to do, right? But it is the small things that do make the biggest difference, right? Mm-hmm. The small disciplines, the small things we do. So if someone is renewed in Jesus, I'd say start with the small things. So start coming to church and making it a priority, whether it's online or in person. In fact, I'd encourage you, if you're comfortable, come in person. Start being with people. And then I think the next thing is join a connect group, because you have other people that you're talking to about following Jesus. It's like mm-hmm. when you start a new hobby, if you have others that you're doing it with, it totally helps. So yeah. Gym friends, people that you surf with, people that you go walking with, it always helps to have people doing it. That's what connect groups are like. But then it goes deeper than that because you start sharing real life. Alongside that, if you haven't been baptized, I think being baptized is a big deal. If you believe that Jesus is your savior, then baptism is the next step to publicly tell everyone, tell the world, take a step that you are going to follow him. Those are some small things, but they make big differences. Consistent church attendance, joining a connect group, getting baptized. And then there's the smaller things such as reading your Bible, listening to the Bible app or worship music, that always helps. So going back to the issue of, you know, shame is not easy to get over at times. I think if we can replace the lie that we've believed for so long about our worth or what we've done, mm-hmm. and memorize scripture of what Jesus said about us, it starts to reprogram our heart and tell us things that are true. So likewise, if you are getting more serious about following Jesus, as a church, we really want to be a part of that. We want to help walk alongside you and contact us. We would love to connect with you personally on how we can best help you take those next steps.
Yeah, so you can contact us. We've got everything that you would need at our website, new and improved. Huge shout out to Kara, your wife, Brandon, who's been just instrumental in making the new website happen. But there's a Connect Group Finder. There's like all the announcements of what's going on. You can join us, register for in-person services, find links to our online services, find out about youth and next gen, what's going on there. Everything that you would need at the website.
Super good.
But yeah, I really like that what you were saying about just like making those little steps. I've been thinking a lot. I've been listening to like a lot of other podcasts because I'm a white male and like podcasts are my personality. Man, there's just a lot of that have been talking about like the story that we tell ourselves and like how humans are extreme storytelling. Like that's how we learn. That's how we relate to others. When you get in a group with other people, it becomes storytelling. And it's like, whether it's here's the story of my life or here's the story of how surfing went this morning, we tell stories and like we tell ourselves stories. And so if we can start to replace the self-talk, the maybe defeatist, negative unworthiness, shame story that we're telling ourselves about ourselves and start to replace it with, no, this is what Jesus says. This is what is actually true, the true reality about what's going on in my soul, in my heart, in my life, that Jesus has redeemed me and that he is redeeming me, that I can renew my mind, that I am able to resist the devil and he will flee from me. If we can start to understand those scriptures as integral and true as the story of our lives, then we can start to really make that difference, I think, in following Jesus in a more grounded and real way. But I mean, that's not to sound like too, I don't want to sound like too new agey or like mystical or anything, but I don't know.
It's not new agey. Sounds legit. I think it's the renewing of your mind, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it says it in the Bible, so truth and... it must be.
I don't know, man. I think anything can go off the deep end, but what you're saying sounds legit. And I think, you know, for people that are listening, really the big idea is that Easter is the proof, right? That no one and no thing is too far from God's redemptive power.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you're dealing with, or maybe someone that you know, someone that you care about is dealing with this, remind them of what Jesus did. And because of what Easter symbolizes, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you know, God's redemptive power is for everybody. So,
yeah, maybe for you, not for you, Brandon, but for the person who's listening, maybe it's as small as when you catch yourself in those moments where you're defeated. It's just having the truth to fall back on that you're not too far to be redeemed by Jesus. And like just working those little moments and those little truths into our everyday lives through things like connect groups, where you're able to talk things through and to get insight from others and all of that in invaluable time through reading your Bible and understanding the scriptures through something like a Bible reading plan on the Bible app, Bible in 1 year, using resources like Right Now Media, just doing the old youth camp classic of, this is what the Lord wants me to read today.
Obadiah. All right.
Or the youth camp, the classic is you open your Bible like this and you let the wind blow it. And then whenever you feel like, all right, that's enough, you like put your hand down. And it's like, wow, that can't be anything but divine intervention right there. We
got to take our kids deeper, but yeah, okay.
I mean, if they're reading the Bible, just starting somewhere, honestly, and just reading. Like, if you end up in Leviticus or something, like, or Numbers, maybe just don't start there. But just start at the gospel, start at John or Mark or Matthew, and just start reading so that you can understand the truths about what Jesus says about us. And you can work that into the story that you tell yourself about yourself.
It's good. It's real good.
Yeah, man. Man, dude, this Easter was so good.
It really was.
I'm still like,
It was definitely a milestone Easter for us. So I'm really grateful to be a part of this church family we have here at Metro and what God is doing with us. And I really feel like the future is bright. As we adjust to all these different things happening with COVID and different tiers, all these things, we're going to do the best we can to keep everything safe and above board. So just know that if you're listening to this and you haven't been in person yet, we have masks, we have hand sanitizer, we have distancing. And by God's grace, we've been doing really well with all that. But in the meantime, you know, join us for a bunch of things that are coming up. Our women are having a study on Elijah the prophet. You can jump into that, sign up on our website. I heard that youth ministry with Alive is coming back to twice a month. Is that what I heard?
Let's go. Yeah, dude. Second and fourth Friday of the month. So the next one is this Friday, April 9th. so excited to see everybody.
Nice.
Just excited to gather to get together again. I'm going to be talking a little bit about Easter, but throwing in more young references, you know. You talked about This Is Us, and I don't think anyone under the age of 30 has watched that TV show. I'm just being real.
I know my audience, so.
I mean, it landed. It landed on Sunday. I was like,
I also reference P. Didymus, so.
Yeah, that one was good. That one was good, though. But yeah, so I'm super excited for that. Super excited that Metro Kids is back on person in person. We're doing kind of like a tandem hybrid, so we're back in person at the 8 a.m. service, but we're still staying online. If you want to join us for our Metro Kids online at 9 a.m. So 8 in person, 9 a.m. online. Week before Easter, super we handed out a bunch of like Easter eggs and like die kits.
That went really well.
The Metro Kids family. Yeah. It was super fun.
I love that. And last but not least, we are doing a live stream event here online, especially for you as a part of our Metro Online Ohana. It's going to be on Sunday, April 18th. Join me and Pastor Owen. We're going to be cooking something. We're going to figure out what to cook. So maybe something as easy as fried rice, maybe something else, but we'll cook, talk story. And then we invite you to come and join us, be a part of that live stream as we do it live online. And then we'll just have some chat going. We'll talk story and have a good time.
Yeah, because our online Ohana, you matter to us. And we want to just spend time with you. And we can't really, it's not the same doing it in the comments. And so we're going to do a live stream with Pastor Brandon and Owen, where it's kind of like a hangout talk story. You can ask them questions. And yeah, it's going to be a good time.
Yeah.
But for and registration,
special sneak peek just for our podcast. Go ahead.
I was just going to talk about the website.
Registration, more info.
Just head over to our website,
MetroKidsChurch.com. Hey, special sneak peek. Just for our Ohana listeners. Coming up this weekend, we're actually going to have a brand new service format. Still the same message. We're going to change up some of the ways that we do our online service. I think it'll be good. Be conducive to what we're doing at home. And we'd love for you to check it out and give us your feedback, because we're just trying something a little different. But it'll be good.
Yeah, I'm interested. It's going to be really good. Yeah. Interested to see how it's going to turn out. I've been talking with you and with Kyle a little bit, just like getting little snippets of what's going to happen. It's like, oh, that's going to be really cool. So I'm excited to see the final project.
Yeah.
Final product. But anyway, that's all we got this week. Happy Easter, everybody.
All right, everybody. Happy Easter.
And see you for the new online services. See you in person. Youth, we'll see you on Friday. Shock us.